Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, otherwise known as Moo, and the call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. Our guests this evening are Gypsy Owl, a.k.a. Deb Bryant, and Jacqueline Stone. Gypsy Owl is an artist and graphic artist extraordinaire, as well as a writer, student, volunteer, mentor, entrepreneur, mother, and grandmother. Jacqueline Stone, in her own words, is a mother, Squidoo lens maker, group master, author, business owner, and entrepreneur, Reiki master, and Twitterer. She believes in the inherent goodness of people and the future of humanity. So we are excited to talk to these two dynamo women. But before I bring Deb and Jacqueline on the show, I want to bring on our very own Moonvine, a.k.a. Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Great to have good friends on tonight.
It's wonderful. Relaxing.
Yeah.
not that we aren't already relaxed. Did you have a good day?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Found out I'm going to have new glasses soon, so.
Oh, you'll be able to read things that you probably didn't think you could see and stuff
right.
like that.
Right. Thankful for that.
I think Gypsy Owl, a.k.a. Deb, is on the phone right now, so let me bring her on. Good evening.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
Wonderful. Is this Deb?
Yes, it is.
I was mixing up the numbers here. Well, wonderful to hear your voice. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Good.
Hey, Deb.
There's
Hi,
Joan.
How are you? I'm just looking.
I'm
we do
good.
Not have a chat room tonight.
I was seeing that.
Yeah.
I'm also getting kicked off of the site.
Oh, no.
I actually have one. I do have one.
You do?
But, yeah. But let me bring on Jacqueline Stone here. Good evening, Jacqueline. Hello? It might be that she needs to press 1. I'm not sure. But
I don't know.
But she is, if she wishes to say something, or whoever, that may not be her. Whoever it is can freely say whatever they want to say at whatever time. So, I don't think we established a topic tonight, so we can do a freewheeling thing if we wish.
Which is
or,
the best
or
way.
Not,
yeah.
Or not. Yeah. The chat room is up for me. I just wanted to say that.
Well, maybe mine will come up shortly. I do not see it at this point. So Deb, tell us what you're doing.
Well, I'm doing a lot of things, as usual. going to school. I'm getting closer to graduation.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, it's really, that part has been my primary goal ever since I started. I've been going for 4 years.
Wow.
And I am going to graduate March of 2010.
That's not that far away.
That's less than a year.
No.
And are you doing, what is it, what are you doing? What are you in school for?
It's actually Business Administration Global Marketing.
My goodness. That's
I'm just, and I love it. I would have never thought that marketing would be my passion. But it's more, I look at it from the marketing for people instead of marketing for the product or the company, you know, looking at best meeting the customer's needs,
right,
rather than telling them what they need.
All right.
Asking them what they need and then finding who's providing the best of that for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that's a perfect tie-in for the internet, isn't it?
Yes.
Marketing globally, I'm thinking. I mean, that's
It's so easy to connect with anyone all around the world.
Right. And we are becoming a global market.
Right.
Yeah,
no
I have to say, I think marketing is wonderful, too. It's like there's a whole new age of marketing that's happening, especially because of the internet. I think it's quite evolved.
And it's less mysterious, because when we were growing up, we could look at the television would tell us what we needed, how we needed to look, and what we needed to buy, and what we needed to eat. TV
right.
still does that a little bit. But on the internet, there's more transparency. If I tell you this or this is you know, the best or the best price, you just need to click a few times to find out if I'm telling you the truth.
Right. Yes, the internet is definitely the truth. You can get the truth on the internet today more than you can get anywhere on television or on the news, in the newspapers. It's almost like all those things are almost obsolete.
Right.
As far as marketing
and
goes,
you can search. You can search whatever you want, and you can find out where the needs are not being met. It's very easy to find a niche, because if you've got an idea and a need, and you go online and you look for it to be filled somewhere, and it takes you 3 hours to find one person who's providing that, then you found. Perhaps you found something you could get into, a business that you could get into. That's how I find the businesses I get into, is I find a need and then I find out that no one's providing it, or they're not providing it to good enough, not good enough, that's not the right word. They're not providing it in a way that I would actually be a customer. If I'm not going to be a customer of a particular product or service, then I won't even promote it.
Right.
That gets a little bit off topic, but more on affiliate marketing. I'm really picky about my affiliates.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
Oh, definitely.
And I find it real difficult sometimes to find just what I want to represent.
Right.
And I am real particular about what I market out there because it reflects on me.
It does, right.
I don't want people to say, well, Joan said that's good, and then be disappointed in it. So I try to really watch that.
And if you know that there's a limitation, you spend the time to share what that is.
Right.
And if you know, if you're looking for this or this, this may not be a good fit for you. Save people time.
Right.
And
right.
money.
What we're talking about here in the chat room is... Betty is in the chat room, Joan,
mentioned
that Kroger did a fantastic customer service thing, and I'm thinking about customer service as being goes hand in hand with the new age of marketing, and a really great customer service, and just compassionate communication with people.
Right.
That's the way I feel about it.
Well, that's been a focus recently, more so than ever before.
Yeah. And that Betty started, she got a call from Kroger about a recent recall. And and they could tell by what she had purchased in the past that she had bought similar purchases. And she was just real pleased that they had gone to the effort to send a note. Oh, no, a call,
right.
actual telephone call, I think. Yeah. Because I always look for things like that in email, but this was a telephone call. And I think we can expect more of that. I have a hard time sometimes with those grocery cards. I think, oh, gosh, they know everything I've purchased. But then again, that's a good thing in the event of a recall or a special sale or something. It's kind of nice for them to know that. Yeah. So,
yes, we have this tremendous customer service push at our hospital, and I think it's also at Betty's hospital. And it might be something that's going on all over the country where the customer service has become the most important thing almost. And the administrative, and I've had the opportunity to speak with administrative people at the hospital, and they are so into this. Yet where I work and all the nurses and all the people who work, you know, side by side with the patient in like almost a war zone, do not really buy into this customer service thing, which I find it to be fascinating. They need to have someone to help them get the word out, as opposed to just putting it out there and not trying to understand where people are coming from. You know, just the people who work in the hospital, who work there, you know, fighting everything. It is a war zone, I hate to say it, but, and those people don't believe at all in what the hospital is doing. So it's going to evolve. I feel it's going to evolve over time because customer service is the most important thing.
Right, and no matter what business you're in, you are going to have a lot more competition now because people can shop around and, you know, you're not the only hospital. You're not.
Yes.
People are willing to drive 3 or 4 hours to get better service if they need to, especially for medical.
Yeah, and also to get that customer service idea out there, there has to be a great marketing push.
Right. Well, just like any marketing, word of mouth is the best advertising ever.
Yes.
That's why social media is so awesome.
It is.
So once you please a few customers, I think that there's statistics. You have to please 100 customers to get one to start raving about you, but you only have to displease one to get a whole bunch of people excited and talking about you on the negative side.
That's right.
Because when we're really happy about things, we don't really take the time to tell people how happy we are with their service.
Which is also a mindset, as somebody just mentioned here in the chat room. It's a mindset where we really need to concentrate on all the wonderful things that are happening and put our focus on that and not just look at that one negative thing that was somewhat disturbing. In reality, that disturbing thing is just brings your energy down. I think we need to just search for the things that bring our energy up. And tell the world about those things.
Yes, that's a very good point. That takes this all the way full circle to the whole feeling relaxed. You were talking about earlier, you said, well, I'm feeling really relaxed. I always do feel relaxed, but you know, we've made a choice to feel relaxed. And we do that by making certain choices. And one of the choices, like you just said, is focusing on real positive things and putting our energy into telling people about positive things rather than draining our energy.
Well, and that gets all the way around to Twitter. And you're real active on Twitter, I know, and you're so good about playing music. You're the DJ of Twitter, I think, in the evenings late. But, you know, the positive quotes, the positive remarks, the things we retweet. I notice it a lot, just the overall positive attitude out there. And it may be just the folks I'm following, but it intrigues me.
Well, you're also very positive, so you attract a lot of positive people.
Well, thank you. I work at it, though. I have to work on my positivity. But
you make a choice every day.
Right.
Like, be that way. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way that I've been able to maintain that is just to make that choice. It's far too easy to get into negativity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got to be a choice every day.
Right. What is it?
The most incredible thing about Twitter is, this is a little off the, I don't know if it is off the topic, but it's become a community journalism tool where things are being reported on Twitter that aren't being reported in the mainstream media. And it's a threatening to the mainstream media. The mainstream media won't report controversial things. They would rather report on Paris Hilton. They would rather report on Madonna's latest fashion or, you know, the latest breakup in Hollywood. But that's being threatened now with Twitter, of all things, because people are actually reporting, taking pictures with their cell phones. You know, when that plane went down in the Hudson and that gentleman, Sullenberger, saved all those lives, the first person to take the picture was on an iPhone, which went directly to Twitter.
Wasn't that the same person that was, I think the first mention I saw of it was one of the rescuers. And she Twittered right quick, I'm on a boat headed to rescue people in a plane in the middle of the Hudson. And at that point, there had not been anything on TV about that.
Exactly.
That was absolutely first news, and I just happened to catch it that day. But
it's so fascinating, and the same is true of the Iranian elections. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but Twitter. And I saw a program on CNN the other evening about the fact that the Twitterers in Tehran are very active getting the news out to the world about what's going on there, because there's riots and people being killed and people are taking video footage and putting it on Twitter, and it has become the main source of information about the uprising there.
Right.
It's fascinating. There's no way that anybody's going to shut that down. It's great.
Yeah, you can't stop the Twitterers from talking, for sure.
Yes. it's fun.
It is fun. It is fun. It's just folks being folks, which is neat, which is real neat. Well, tell us about your involvement with Angel. I know I had a wonderful Angel reading with you one afternoon, my daughter and I.
Oh, yes.
Are you willing to talk about that a little bit?
Well, a little bit. I did, and I really enjoyed it, Joan, very much.
That was wonderful.
I talk to angels. I write letters to angels. I don't hear angels talk to me, though, before anybody runs away.
Yet you haven't heard
that. But I sense the energy of certain, you know, when we're having a when we're feeling joy and we're really, really into it, we really do sense a lot of energy around us. We attract to us. And I believe that the one of the tools that I use is the Angel Oracle, mm-hmm. and I believe that's what I used when I spoke with you. And what that does is it attracts the energy that we're already having to us, and then it explains it to us a little bit.
Is that what it is? That was that your experience?
Yeah.
When we did the reading.
Yeah, I just kind of understood it was very affirming for me.
Right. Sometimes we can't really sort things because there's so much going on.
Right.
Even as simple as I knew I was going to call today, and I didn't know what we were going to talk about, and I kept thinking, well, there must be something that's really important that I would like to talk about, and then I just came to the conclusion that it would just happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It would
the
just
show
happen.
Often does just happen. Yeah.
And as far as the angel readings, what they help me with is to identify what kind of energy I'm in. If I'm in a real, I should be going to them more often, but I usually go when things are getting complicated. If I'm feeling confused or, a little bit stressed, I will kind of look at, sometimes I'll just open the book and whatever page it opens to, that's the one I'll read. And it's guidance, and it's, each angel has a focus. That's another nice thing. There's so many different focuses, and sometimes I've heard them all of them at once. So it helps me kind of zero in on what's going on. Well, what was one of your, do you have a question specifically about the angel reading?
No, I just wanted you to kind of explain what your interest and what you do, because I just think it's fascinating. I had not ever had a reading done that way. I had had an angel reading done by a lady who wrote Angel Speak.
Oh.
And that was interesting. But she wasn't using cards. I had never had anybody use cards before. And I was fascinated. I just don't know a whole lot about that kind of thing. And I'm always open and listening, trying to learn a little bit.
I like to use cards because they are, it's easier for me not to decide, I might want to, I find myself lost for words. I won't just decide, here's a good example. If I want a question answered, sometimes I will sit and wonder, who can I call that will give me the answer that I want?
Right. Right.
And so that works. It's affirming, but it's not real productive. So if I have an open mind and whoever calls me at this moment in time that I'm asking for someone to talk with, that's who has what I need to hear rather than what I want to hear.
Well, it keeps your personality out of it.
Right. And my limiting thoughts. I limit myself sometimes, and I will block a lot of things by doing this. Things get good. Things get more complicated. They're harder to achieve. My goals seem far out there, and it's mainly because, for whatever reason, I've limited myself from being able to accomplish it. And so when I don't let myself give, when even in marketing they say, don't answer your own questions. And that sort of relates to this, too. If you have a question, it's better to not answer it yourself. And how the cards help me is I will ask the cards to show me what it is I need to know right now. And I choose my cards. One of my favorite ones is Esther Hicks. I don't recall the name of this deck, but Esther Hicks is a law of attraction.
Nice. Abraham.
Yes. And she has a deck of cards, or maybe that was her book. I don't know. Anyway, so when I'm picking a deck, I don't pick a deck that, I pick decks that are really positive, and that's because that's the focus I want. And, for example, I just pulled this one card, and it says, I can relax into my natural well-being. The essence of all that you appreciate is constantly flowing into and creating your reality. As you appreciate, your state of appreciation opens more channels that allow you more for which to feel appreciation. That's cool.
Wonderful. Totally wonderful, yeah.
So if I'm stressed, that's probably a good, that would be a good thing. Is there anyone that would like a card for me to pull a card specifically for them? I'm not in the chat room at all. I can't get into it.
Oh, I would love for you to pull a card for me. You know I would.
Okay. Would you like Angel card or Esther Hicks?
Angel.
Those are the two. Okay. Let me do that. I hadn't planned this, so I'm a little bit off.
Well, we kind of put you on the spot here.
The angel card is, for Joan, the angel of Gabriel. I am made whole by the message of love, brotherhood, and freedom. And I will find Gabriel in my book, so I'll read what the book says. Gabriel is depicted holding a lily, which stands for purity and truth. He is sometimes seen with an inkwell and quill, symbolizing his function as the heavenly communicator of the Word of God. He can also be seen holding a golden chalice, strongly reminiscent of the Grail. Traditionally, Gabriel is the messenger of the Word of God. His name means God is my strength. He announces the mystery of incarnation to all souls before they are born, and he instructs us all as to what our talents and tasks in this world will be.
Ooh.
Cool.
I hope.
So, you know, that really goes back to a belief that I have. And Jacqueline Stone and I discussed this a lot. Before we were born, we made decisions about what our goals were, and then we chose our situations that would support us to be able to achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my goals is to help people who are in abusive relationships. So going back in time, I could probably say that before I was born, I made that decision, and in order to be very effective at it, I needed to create some unhealthy relationships in my experience,
mm-hmm.
so that I could be most useful as helping people who had unhealthy relationships. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay, KK's wanting you to pull a card for her, Karen K.
Oh, Karen. Okay. Angel card or Esther Hicks?
I'm waiting for her to answer. I think there's a little bit of a lag between...
Oh, between the room
the phone
and the
phone. Chat room, yeah.
I think you're right. I have the angel of forgiveness. I choose to forgive all those who have hurt me in the past. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I was getting a lot of I was meditating a lot because there was some things going on in the world that were coming to my mind and real heavy on my heart. So I was doing a lot of praying, and I came into a state of identifying what is forgiveness. And I think I tweeted about it. Like, forgiveness is not allowing the person who has harmed you to harm you again. Forgiveness is not forgetting so that it'll happen again. It's remembering without the emotional baggage attached to it, the paralyzing emotional baggage.
Right.
We forgive for ourselves, not for the other person. We let go of blaming them. And then in a way, we come to the point where we find out why did... I don't believe that all abuse is attracted to me, that I attracted it all. I know that kind of conflicts that I said a minute ago. But more so, how can I use my experience to help others?
Mm-hmm.
And Mimi wants an angel card.
Who? Mimi?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi,
well,
Mimi.
I
love Mimi.
I love Mimi. Everybody loves Mimi.
Everybody loves her. course, everybody loves you two, too.
And you, my dear.
Yes, and you. Speaking of so much positivity, Mimi is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Positive constantly. The angel card for Mimi is the guardian angel of spiritual growth. The way I become spiritual is simply to become myself.
Wow. Oh, I love that. Perfect.
The primary purpose of our earthly incarnation is our development as spiritual beings. It is this guardian angel who guards our spiritual growth throughout life, always defending our souls. This angel blesses all the activities which nurture our spiritual welfare, which in fact means the things which are loving and respectful to ourselves. That's
and Betty
cool.
wants to go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Betty wants an Esther card. Our mama's name was Esther.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's my sister.
Oh.
That's
okay.
Betty.
This is for Betty. The Esther Hicks card is all is well.
I love
babies. Babies are beings from non-physical, eternally coming forth for the creation of that which they decide. The babies are wanting so much for you to know that all is well.
All is well. We say that to each other all the time.
Oh, really?
That's wonderful. Yes.
So that's the energy that Betty has an all is well energy, and that card just was attracted to her.
I love that. That's super.
I would like to have a card reading for our show.
Ah.
Because Joan and I are always saying, aren't we, Joan, that we love the show, and it seems to every week it reveals a certain part of the puzzle. And, you know, we always concentrate on more spiritual matters and sometimes marketing matters. And but anyway, it's not that we don't know exactly what we're doing, but I think in some respects we don't have a larger perspective about it.
Well, the card that came up for your show is the Angel of Harmony.
Oh.
I live in harmony when I am at one with the Source. One of the things I've noticed about your show is you're sharing, the whole dynamic of the show, Moon, and you, was to harmonize energies. Everybody is welcome and be part of this collective wisdom. And
yeah.
That you're creating that harmonious energy just by inviting people to come and talk and share and then connect with you. And the book says the Angel of Harmony shares its grace with us when we choose to live a harmonious life. Living in harmony entails many things. It has a physical aspect, which can be found in the environment we choose to live in. It is also an emotional state reflecting the degrees of openness, honesty, and integrity we bring into our lives. We live in harmony in part when we accept our dependence on the earth, which nourishes us and supports life. We are in harmony with our feelings when we give them the space to be real for us. And that's what you've done. You've given people the space to connect and realize how real. You say, you know, this is spiritual. I think everything is spiritual.
Yeah.
You've probably seen that, Joan, on one of my lensographies. I put, okay, this is the spirituality section. I started putting a whole bunch of lenses in there, and then I was like, you know, I'd probably put them all in this section if I really didn't try. It was really hard to separate them because I believe it's all spiritual. Like, we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, we do have another person here on the line. Let me just see who they are. Hello.
Hello, my name is Betty Jo.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. And I'd love it if you drew some angel cards for me.
Go for it.
For Betty Jo?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I have pulled two cards for you, two of the angel cards. And one is the angel of trust. I trust in the divine power of goodness and love to protect me and guide me. And one is the angel of power. The power of the divine love protects and enfolds me.
Okay.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is. That is. So, do they tell you how relationships are going to go or anything like that?
Let me see what else this card... Each of the cards has a lot of dynamics to it, so I'm going to pull out my book here and look both of those up. Relationships, let's see, trust and power. For trust, for the angel of trust, it says the angel of trust is represented holding the stole, which it uses as a blindfold. Okay, the angel's function is to open our hearts and minds to trusting in the goodness of life.
Okay.
I don't think that answers your question, but the one about power might. For the angel of power, it can help you to accept the power of the source, acknowledge your own power for transformation, accept the collective power of humanity for change.
Okay. Well, basically what I get is just kind of trust in everything and guide me in the right direction as far as what's going to be going on, I guess.
Right. And also, here's something that's coming to me, not necessarily from the card, but when you asked me about relationship, I hesitated, and then something came to my mind. Have you identified exactly what the relationship you want looks like? What does it feel like?
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
Oh, yes, I pretty much know exactly what I want. The person that I've been dating, I eventually want to move in and marry and the whole nine yards.
And that relationship looks how you imagined you want your relationship to be?
Not right at the moment, but I'm still imagining it and it's slowly getting there.
I think if Joan or Kate could translate for me, I'm not hearing Betty Jo very well.
Okay, I think she says that the relationship is not what she wants it to be right now, but it's moving in that direction.
Okay.
And my thing that I keep, and I've got to say what I think, because this just keeps reappearing, is it's okay to pray for a sign, and I've done that many times myself. And the cards may very well do that for you, but if you want something else, then certainly I wouldn't hesitate to ask for that.
Okay.
And then also look at being true to yourself. I'm feeling like you have identified what you want, and it is moving, it's transforming. And that is awesome. And that means you're using that power that we talked about before in the trust. And everything starts somewhere. And then my own experience is when I am imagining, like I do a dream board. I think Joan does that as well. Do you call it a dream board, Joan?
No, I use an image book, but the same
image
thing.
Image book.
Yeah.
So we put all of our what we're going to manifest on this board, and more
it seems like it comes true quicker. Like I did one for the year earlier this year when we were both doing ours, and in a couple of months I had to do another one because everything on there was already here.
Wow.
I didn't have anything else on there to imagine.
So you just take a poster board and and about collage everything you want.
Yeah, there's a
yes.
free, you can get a free notebook, workbook, that's mine. But anyway, if you want to go get that, it's at joyfulacquisitions.com.
Okay. Oh, yes,
free,
your book is fabulous, Joan.
Free workbook, and you do your, tells you how to create your pages, which is a board.
It yeah, does, go for that. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter whether you're doing a page or a board or a, I've used file folders before. If I was
right.
at a job, it's easy to do a file folder, take it to work, and slip it in the drawer, and then look at it off and on throughout the day. I've done that many a time, especially when something's weighing heavy on your heart and you just really need to release
it. Keep it up first and foremost in your mind.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You do what works for you, in other words.
Right.
Okay.
It
Thank
doesn't
you.
Matter. The format does not matter. The point is to do it. Don't you agree, Deb?
Yes. Yes. And I've tried a lot of tools over the years, and it seems like I've narrowed down to the ones that I feel most comfortable with, and those are the ones for me that everyone would have their own favorite
Absolutely.
Tools.
And which is, again, what we keep saying about this show. It's like every week, every single week, we walk away saying it's another piece of the pie. It's like we're offering the whole smorgasbord, and people can take the pieces that fit their lives the most. And I just think it's amazing.
Right.
You know, we all, different things feed different ones of us. We don't all have the same needs or the same personalities or the same whatever. The same tools don't work for all of us is what I'm trying to say. And it's nice to have a whole array of things and say, oh, you know, that one will work for me here and this one will work here, or that sounds more like my friend so-and-so. Yeah. But
That's
I do...
It is a harmonious experience that
it is.
The
I love
the show
that.
Has been totally harmonious.
I love that. The word is perfect. I just love that. That couldn't have been any better. Because to me, that's the whole point of what we're trying to do here. And,
right.
You know. And you don't ever know who's going to be touched tonight, nor do you know who's going to hear it a year from now. Which is, I think, the most fascinating thing for me is the people that will hear it in the future.
Yes.
And say, oh, that's exactly what I need. You know, it's when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And people will
right.
hear exactly what they need to hear.
And then that name comes in. Y'all were perfect with that name. Did I tell you that I had a dream that I saw that logo on the side of a bus? That's
yes.
how I designed it.
Yeah.
I woke up from a dream and I'm like, oh, wait, that was Joan and Kate. I got to go make that for them.
Did we say that clearly, that you had created our logo, which I love? Yes,
oh,
I
definitely.
Totally agree.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. You were very kind. The thing, though, is about the collective wisdom. Think about as each of your shows is recorded and it's put into the archive. And over time, we just have no idea how collectively each of your segments is going to work together. And,
right.
and people may listen to, you know, kind of this and that, pick and choose, and they'll be listening to exactly what they need to hear.
I believe that with all my heart.
I believe it streams into the collective.
Yes.
Right. Right. It just yes. builds and builds.
There's some guy in an airport, and I'm telling you, I've had this vision over and over again, and I hope he's listening to this, but I had this vision of this guy in an airport listening to one of these shows and the show saying exactly what he needs to hear at the time. I've had that vision since day one. It's like he exists somewhere out there. He exists. And yes, the show will speak to exactly what his need is at the time, which touches
Think about that as a symbolically. It may be literal, and I believe he may be listening to this at some point in time. It may be literal, but also symbolic. When you're at an airport, you are in transition, going or coming or something. And then you have, you have this, stumble on a Blog Talk radio show. Because I like the name, Moon, Moo, and You. And then all of a sudden you hear exactly what you need to hear. And that to me is symbolic of why
Ooh.
You're passionate about your show.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It applies to everybody.
Yes, it does.
It applies to everybody.
It's so
truth is whenever two people come together and share, they will both of them will never be the same again.
Yes.
I believe that.
And whenever you draw a card, whenever any card that's drawn here tonight speaks to all of us that are here.
Right. I was thinking that too, Kate.
Definitely.
Yes. Every card drawn speaks to every one of
us. It's the collective energy that's drawing the card too.
Right. Right. And I was interested, too, and I don't know if you all noticed, but Betty Jo came on, and I don't know her, but her name is a combination of mine and Betty's.
Very interesting.
Which I thought was real interesting. Yeah. Betty Jo.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, life
is
interesting.
All these synchronicities are amazing, and as soon as you open yourself up to them, it's really very magical.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I had
the idea of Betty Jo and just all of that.
I had the distinct feeling when she said her name, I thought, ooh, we need to pay attention. Betty, we need to be listening to this. Because almost. Huh?
I'm still on. Okay,
hey,
I don't know.
Good.
I really enjoyed the show, but you know what? I need to know, what did the guy look like at the airport?
Oh.
Oh, good question.
That's
how do you see him, Joan?
He has dark hair. He
not
is seated.
Dark red hair?
I did not see red, and I have red-headed grands. This was just dark hair. He is seated, so I don't know how tall he is. He is in a suit. Does that help?
No, it's just my boyfriend picked me up from the airport just about a week ago.
So he was waiting for you.
Yeah, he was waiting for me.
That's
But he doesn't have dark hair. He has dark red hair.
Well, it's, what was the word you used? What was the word you used, Deb?
Like a transition.
He was representative of mankind. So.
Symbolic of transition.
Symbolic, yes. Symbolic. The word wouldn't come to me. But, yes, we have red-headed grands, so if that's your sign, that might be your sign.
Twins are so cute, and redheads are so cute.
Oh, golly. They're just wonderful. They're wonderful. They keep us going. But this is absolutely beautiful. I'm sitting here looking at the chat room, and I was trying to type as fast as I could, but there's an awful lot of beautiful thoughts in all that. Looking at trust in the divine power of goodness, the power of divine love, protection and folds, angel of power, so on and so forth. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And it speaks to all of us, everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's one more card I pulled just for the show.
Okay.
And it's a Esther Hicks card, and it says, "It is not my responsibility to convince
anyone of anything.
Uh-huh.
Make your decisions about what you want and set out to create the life experiences that you choose and allow all others to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the that is the root of non-judgmental, of a non-judgmental attitude, humility, you know?
And it also it's allowing, it's giving me permission to not try and make my life look like someone else's.
Right.
Because I may think I've done this. I've heard people say this. I think the way that people usually say it is I'm when I compare my insides to someone else's outsides.
Right.
I try to become that person because I think that's better for some reason, instead of realizing we're all human, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. What I see on the outside of someone else is not where I need to be comparing my insides.
Yes.
Have you seen the frog that came around on the email? It's a picture of a frog, and he says, I'm so relieved to find out that I am responsible only for myself.
Right.
Yeah. And it's that. I mean, I don't think that is a non-caring attitude, but it's, I don't need to be like anybody else. I don't need to be anything but who I am. I am what I am.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the greatest lessons of life, isn't it?
It really is. I met a lady today when, in fact, she was fitting me for these new glasses. And she said, well, you don't wear much jewelry. I said, no, don't wear much jewelry. Don't wear much makeup. What you see is what you get, you know. And she laughed. She said, yeah, I've about gotten to that point. I said, well, I reached that about 35, you know. And, yes, Betty, I know it drives you crazy. But you know, it's kind of, hey, here it is, you know, and I've somehow moved past that need to please anybody else or something.
Right.
Became
a
hippie late in life, Kate, huh?
That's a relief.
Yeah, huge relief. I was, you know, a late blooming hippie.
And we also learned.
You like me so much.
That's right.
It's funny.
We also learn to not let our own beliefs limit us or blame us. Or, I mean, if I'm having a thought that it is, excuse me, if my thought is, that's not right, or if I'm having a negative thought about myself, I should be better, I should do more, be more, those kinds of thoughts. I still have them, but they don't have the power over me that they used to, because I realized that they're just thoughts that I've allowed, shoulds that I've allowed to come into my thinking, and it's usually other people's thinking that the message they have received for their self, they want to impose on me.
Well,
and,
don't
you
and think we pick that up? You know, if we're in a room, we pick that up from people. Don't you think?
Right.
We,
oh, definitely.
You know, it's almost like you have to cover yourself, and I call it covering myself with grace, but covering yourself with that invisible protective shield that somehow protects you from the light of everybody else's expectations.
Right. I guess expectations is a good example, because when I'm having expectations of myself, I need to let those go.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely different than having a vision.
Well, it's the opposite of gratitude. It's the exact opposite of being thankful for who we are.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I have a rough time with that one, and I have to work on it, which is why I know it so well. But giving myself a hard time and have to say, whoa, wait a minute, you know, this is, you are who you are.
Right.
And be thankful for that. be thankful for the gifts in that.
It's all, isn't it, all come down to self-image and the way you see yourself. If you do kind of fall prey to those sorts of fears and less than feelings and so forth, it's just an opportunity to love yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From the hardest space to do that. I think that's the most difficult place to love yourself. And yes, and that is the magic, if you will, to be
able to. Effort helps to connect with people who will affirm that.
Right.
That you know, you're exactly perfect the way you are. And when you have this vision board up here, don't let that be a condemnation to you. Like, oh, well, look, I want this, but I'm not seeing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that can that can kind of go backwards and give you more.
Yeah. Or I won't be happy until.
Right. Well, and Esther Hicks has a perfect example. I don't know how often she said this, but I saw it in the movie, The Secret. She says, "How do you feel? If you're feeling good, then you are in harmony with the universe.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling good, then you're not in harmony with your own, you know, be true to yourself. What is it that you're not harmonious about? What's causing this, and how can you move into a place where you are feeling good and joyful?" And for me, for a long time, I felt misery all the time. So at that point, the best I could do was have a joyful moment, and then I knew I was making progress. And then over time, more and more of those moments put together until now when I have an unjoyful, unharmonious moment, I know what it is. It's kind of reminding me where I came from. And then now being able to turn it over to how am I responsible for how I'm feeling? It usually comes down to I really can say that when I'm not feeling joyful and harmonious, I have a big part in it, and I can change it. That actually gets me more power in it instead of being powerless.
Joe Vitale saying, "Be happy now. Be happy now. Be happy now." Yep.
Totally true.
Not always easy to do, but definitely is the way to go, which is exactly what you're saying, Deb, right?
Right. And even if it's not, a lot of times people complain to me, they're like, "Well, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk." And I reply, "You got to talk the talk first for a while, and then, you know, walking the walk comes. As long as you keep focused on it, it's gonna come." That's one of those shoulds. I always jump in and protect people. Say, you know, you're on the right path. Don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What is it from Golden Pond? They said, "We're all just doing the best we can." I love that line.
You will not believe this. I can't. But we have 1 minute remaining in the show.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't even realize it. Usually I kind of look at it for a while. And we're almost done.
My goodness. So, Deb, this has been fabulous.
Yes. What would be a take-home moment, some message we can take here, I think, is that just love yourself and feel good. It's a choice.
"And I offer the best of my talents and goodwill, making my place in the universe a better one."
Ooh.
Yes.
Do that again. I offer my talents and...
"I offer the best of my talents and goodwill, making my place in the universe a better one."
Excellent.
Wonderful. Really wonderful.
It's been an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here with us. And we've been looking forward to this, and hopefully we can do this again. I don't see why not.
Oh, absolutely. We have to.
Thank
you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Deb. And thank you to all who showed up in the chat room this evening. And thank you, Thank you, Joan, and also thank you to Klaus Jensen and Henrik Burke Abu, who have graciously offered their music to us every show that we play. So here we go. Love to all, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.